Hello, everyone. So I just wanted to put a little disclaimer on this episode. I had a really bad migraine the last several days for various reasons. And with that, I definitely am dealing with some, I don't know if it's brain fog or if it's aphasia, combination of both. I definitely am struggling today to find my words. So I feel like there may be, maybe I'm overthinking it with listening back to the episode, to grab a clip for the behind the scenes sharecast. But either way, I definitely am feeling like I am struggling to speak a little bit and also stumbling over my words. So if this is the first episode that you have listened to of mine, please know that I normally speak a little bit more eloquently, or if there are longer pauses, in between Caitlin saying something and me responding, or pauses in between of things that I'm saying, that is why. But I just wanted to put that out there because I know some people may listen to this as their first episode. And while I'm not about to apologize for my chronic illness, because it's not my fault, I do just kind of like, if I know that I am having more trouble with my words and forming sentences and things like that, to put that out there so that if it is the first episode that people listen to, that they kind of realize that it's not always that way, even though there are times where it is due to the fact that I have these issues sometimes. But anyways, hope you enjoy the episode. Let's get into it. It was a great conversation and I hope that you enjoy. Hello, hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Beautiful Legacy Podcast. I am your host, Abigail Gagnon, and today we have a special guest, one of my camp family, and we have been friends for, I think I figured out earlier that it was like 13, 14 years, which makes me feel so old. But we have Caitlin Erickson with us today, and we are going to be talking all about homeschooling and the app that her sister and her created for homeschool families. And yeah, if you can tell us a little bit about yourself, Caitlin.
Hey, so my name is Caitlin Erickson. I have been married to my best friend Matthew for over 10 years. We have three children under the age of 9, and we are a homeschool family living in New Hampshire. I'm also one of the four co-founders of a homeschool community app called Homey.
Awesome. Yeah, I cannot believe when I was doing the math the other day, because I've had multiple other camp people on here, and I was like, how long have I known her? Because it was 2011.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, 13 years. That is so crazy. I know. I can't believe that it's been that long. Just like, even with Rachel, I've known her for 11 years at this point. Mm-hmm. And like, when it reached the decade, I was like, that's so weird that I can say I've known you for a decade. And so with the app, what made you decide to create the app, and how did you come up with the name, and like, what was that initial process like?
Oh man. Well, that's a lot to break down. So what made us create the app was, Homey kind of began as a passion project between my sister Megan and I, after recognizing certain gaps in our own homeschool journey. We both kind of have different stories that how we kind of came together. But for me, I had just moved to Colorado and just started homeschooling. I was in a new state and I really had no clue how to do it. Anyways, like I said, we moved to Colorado. I didn't know anyone except for my in-laws, and my kids were desperate to make new friends and be social with other kids. I joined like 5 to 10 homeschool groups. There was really just like to find different opportunities of where like the kids could be social. And even in these groups, there really wasn't that much available. So for and then the other thing about homeschooling, it's a very word of mouth community. Like, so unless you don't, like, if you don't know anyone in the homeschool community, you're not going to know anything that's going on in the homeschool community. So, you know, that we saw these gaps, and my sister and I began to like come together after, like, she was also having issues with trying to find information, homeschooling and gathering information. And she was joining multiple Facebook groups and coming up empty and overwhelmed and how difficult it was to find information. So that being said, we wanted to create a resource that our families could use to help bridge the gaps and that we were facing in the homeschool community and just make homeschooling more easily accessible to the community. So that's kind of how we created the app, like where the idea came from. But I mean, I can keep going.
Go for it.
Yeah. So the way that we came up with the name, when we were brainstorming names, we really wanted a name that encompassed the aspect of being home and having friends. And Megan and her husband, David, who's one of our other co-founders, were the ones that actually officially came up with the name. We came up with Homey when we were originally thinking of it, like spelling of like homey, like you're my friend, you know, like you're home, you're my homie. But we wanted the word home in it. And so when we came up with our own version of spelling, which is Homey. So yeah, we just really wanted a name that would go with homeschooling and building community.
That's really awesome. I wanted to take a look because I was curious, like if anyone asked me, because I have a homeschool chat through the ministry I run. And so I was like, oh, if anyone asks me questions, I'm not going to be able to answer. So I was trying to like look in the app, but obviously like I can only get so far with not being a mom. So I found it like just, I don't know, the things that I've seen that you post look super interesting. And I know that like some people have said that they've gotten the app and really liked it.
Oh, that makes it so great.
yeah, absolutely. And with the app, is there any membership costs or requirements, or do you just have to, you know, fill out the information that you have children and your children's ages and all of that?
Yeah, so we really wanted this to be free for the community. Like we said, we just wanted it to be like a resource. So it's completely free, no membership. There is like free for organizations also that like want to be in our database that offer something for the homeschool community. So right now everything's free, which
that's
is great.
Really awesome. And is there a browser option as well, or is it just an app option?
What do you mean by browser option?
So like if people were to like go on the website, could like they put in information, or does it just you have to download the app onto your phone?
That's a great question. So yes, we don't, we only have the app. Right now is on Apple iOS. And then we are creating Android right now, and that will be out by the summer. So Android users, don't worry, we have not forgotten you, but unfortunately it's just, on the phones.
Yeah, that makes sense. I just know that some people listening may not have as much space on their phone and can't download apps and like, but can go on a browser. So I was curious if that was also an option.
A great question.
And with the app, can you tell us a little bit about, obviously there's different resources and stuff, but what exactly are those resources and what can someone expect when they sign up for the app?
So the app has like four main features. And the first feature is when you log on to the app, it's called the Explore page. So this is the page that like when you like get past onboarding and you're just logging on, you're going to get to. And the Explore page is it's a feature where you're able to find local homeschool and educational events that are happening in your area. And on that, you can also create public like meetups here as well. And then we also have three more. We have the Atlas feature, which is our newest feature. And when you open that or click on it, it displays a map and it allows you to discover local organizations that enrich your homeschooling experience. So if there's like a gymnastics gym that does like homeschool open gym, you can like find that on there. Or if there's a museum that offers like homeschool classes, you could like find it there, or like, you know, just things like enrichment. We also have a national and local feed where people can connect through advice, questions, discussions, and we call that the daily tea, like you get your tea. And then lastly, we have our messaging feature, and that basically is like pretty much, you know, you can message other users. You can create private groups there as well between your co-ops, your homeschool groups, or if you already have established friendships, you can like just talk between them, you know, with each other. But something I love about that feature is it's kind of like GroupMe, if you ever, like if you know GroupMe. Mm-hmm. But it's something where like if you're already part of a group, you can like create private meetups there. You can talk between your group. You can also like share photos, and it's never like, we don't sell to any third party. It's very secure on the app. So it's just a really good place to be able to communicate.
That's really awesome. And are there like summer activities that people can find as well, or is it strictly different things that people create for like during the school year?
That's a great question. Yeah, there. So right now, to understand that question, you have to like go back a little bit. We are the people that are like we're creating all the data and finding. So we're going state by state right now, filling in data. So, you know, right now California might not be as full as somewhere like Georgia. But when all the data is put in, and we've grown that size, you will be able to find different things that are going on in the summer. We really focus, like, the biggest thing that we're focusing on is homeschool related, but we're also like kind of branching out to like anything that's like going on a library, anything that's like family oriented, or just like really what your kid, like, what would my kid like to enjoy, you know? So there will be things for summer. It probably won't be as full as the school year, but it'll still be available.
That makes complete sense. I just know that being homeschooled my whole like school career, whatever, we did a lot of stuff like in the summer as well that the homeschool community in our areas organized. So that's why I was just curious if there was going to be that option.
It's an awesome question. Yeah, our hope is to really put a lot of like there's like farms that do definitely like homeschool or like family workshops and stuff like that. Like stuff like that will be fun. Anything that's going on in the community.
That's really awesome. And obviously, I know that the getting like the app up and running was not exactly how you pictured it because we have been planning this for months to have you on the podcast.
Yes.
So can you tell us a little bit about like what that process was like, and what was different about what actually happened from what you were anticipating happening?
Sure. So we have been working on this project for 2 years now, like really just shy of 2 years. And the way that we started, like, was Megan and I first came together and we just did a lot of brainstorming. And eventually, you know, she was able to go to her husband, David, who is the programmer who, you know, helped create Homie. He really envisioned how this could work. And the three of us really started having weekly meetings, collaborating about ideas, talking about what was needed to be like to be done to make this a successful business. And then we used a tool called Figma to create like the images of what the app could look like and what the features could look like. And as our ideas grew, we were really able to start getting more and more creative and seeing what this could turn into. David's skills were amazing. He was able to use the ideas from Figma and design the app. And then we became a corporation. So we like declared that we were a corporation. And soon after, Naya, who is our fourth team member, he joined our team and he's the back-end engineer for Homie. So David and I have both built this app together while having full-time jobs and worked super hard. So one of the reasons why I think we thought it would originally launch a little sooner was because, you know, it's easy to have a timeline for ourselves, but when your programmers are kind of doing two jobs at once, it can take longer or there's bugs that need to be fixed. So about 6 months before we launched, we ended up attending the Southeast Homeschool Expo in Atlanta. And we showed our product for the first time to get feedback from the community. And with that feedback, we were able to see things that needed to be fixed or changed or added. And that's partially why I think it kind of took a little bit longer than the fall launch we were thinking. And so about a couple months ago, we finally launched and we're still building it out, still learning. And at the moment, we are attending homeschool conventions throughout the country and just showing our product to the community.
That's really awesome. I actually had a friend that was at the same one that you were most
Oh,
recently at, I
nice.
believe, and she posted about it. And I was like, oh my gosh, I have a friend that has a booth there. And she asked who it was. She's like, oh yeah, I checked that out. So I think
Such
that was
a
really,
small world. Yeah, the Great Homeschool Convention in South Carolina. Was that it? Oh, no way. She should have told me she knew you. I would have loved that.
I think she went up to the booth or the table, whatever, before I had mentioned. And when I think by the time I saw her post, it was later on in the day. But
Okay, that's super cool. I love making connections like that.
yeah, I do too. I absolutely love stuff like that. And with the fact that like it took a little bit longer and like you're still learning the process, what are some of the tips that you have for people that are wanting to start a business or an slash an app?
I love that. My advice would not like would be to not be afraid to try. Brainstorm and research your ideas. Find people who are experts in the field that you're hoping to start your business. Startups take a lot of work and there's a high risk to it, but if you're successful, there's a high reward. Lastly, be teachable because you're going to learn a lot along the way. So, those are my top advice for anyone that's wanting to start a business.
Yeah, that is very good advice. And with obviously having to get licensing or whatnot, I'm assuming that's different in every state, but did you, since it's nationwide, what did that look like?
For Homie or
Yeah.
for Homie, I had to get back. Our programmers really kind of handled all of that stuff. And there's a whole world that I don't understand in programming, but I could absolutely get back to you on that one.
Yeah, absolutely. And what would you say are, besides being teachable and just kind of going for it and realizing that you may not know everything and whatever, are there any other like big don'ts that you would say that you have that you were like, hey, we should have done this differently?
I think that it's really easy to start an idea with others, and but then you just have to really kind of be humble enough to understand when you're making a mistake with your team or I guess just like working together can be hard, and it's super rewarding and it's so possible. I know everyone's like, don't work with family and say all this stuff, but it's possible and it can be really rewarding. But you do have to work together. So don't be that person that can't work in a team, if that makes sense.
Absolutely. I completely understand what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
And with the app being free, and you don't have to give me like exact numbers, obviously, but is it something that you're able to do to make money from the app? And if so, like, how does that work if the app is free?
That's a great question. So it's actually one of our top questions when we go to conventions, surprisingly. At the moment, we are not making any money doing it. We're not really losing anything either, because we're all kind of high risk, high reward kind of thing. But as the app continues to grow, and once Android's out, we are going to be pursuing like advertisement, but we aren't going to be doing like just anyone. Like you're not going to see Coca-Cola on our app. Anything that's going to be advertised on our app is going to have to be homeschool related. So it's going to be something that you want to see. So like, I think a huge thing for us would be like, we would love to advertise with like Great Wolf Lodge one day or something like that because they do homeschool weeks at their hotel. So like kind of like curriculums or anything that is like promotional for homeschooling. And then we'll probably do affiliate links as well. So that is our next goal, to be able to kind of figure out and just walk into in the next couple months.
That makes complete sense. I feel like it's similar with like podcasting, with eventually I'd love to do like some red ads or get sponsorship and whatever, but I would also want to make sure that it was things that people that aligned with the podcast. Like with the podcast being lifestyle, I kind of have a little bit more of a broad spectrum, but I also don't want it to just be like you said, like some off the wall thing that has nothing to do with the podcast. And people are like, why is this ad in here?
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. And with your own homeschool journey, like what made you and Matt decide that you wanted to homeschool the kids?
Honestly, when we knew that we were moving to Colorado, we knew that the schools were not fantastic. And it was my mother-in-law was actually homeschooling in Colorado, and she was just such a resource for me. So I felt like I was like able to do it. And we also didn't really want to pay for private school at that time. When we were moving, we already were buying a house. We were changing, our lifestyle, kind of moving right in September when school started. So that was a big one. But I was a public school kid, Abby, and I never thought I'd be homeschooling. So the fact that we're doing it is like a huge testament to where the Lord's led us. My oldest started in public school for he lasted about 2 weeks for various reasons. And he did private school and it was wonderful. But around COVID, when that kind of fell apart, we just, you know, a lot of people actually had bad experiences when they came home because there's so much computers, but this private school really like helped us to be able to homeschool. They provided the curriculum, but we did the homeschooling and the kids weren't on computers. And it really empowered me to feel like I could do it when we decided to move to Colorado.
That's really awesome. And what would you say for anyone that's listening that wants to start homeschooling? What are some of like your biggest tips for getting started besides obviously the app?
This is like my favorite thing to talk about. So first of all, if you're like on the fence, I would just say go for it. I think a lot of people feel inadequate in like their ability to homeschool, or they're going to mess their kids up. But like, realistically, like, I would just say go for it, try it out. There's so many great curriculums these days, and like they walk you through how to do it. And you know, if you decide that you like it's not right for your family, you can always send your kids back the following year. It's not going to mess them up at all. But if there are people considering pulling their kids out of school, my advice would be to de-school your children. And de-schooling is allowing your children to perform very little school, like formal schoolwork, so that they can like rediscover their love for learning. So instead you would go to like nature centers, museums, libraries, and just have fun with your kids, figure out what their interests are and what their learning styles might be, and just have fun for like a month or two, maybe longer. I've heard of people de-schooling for a while, but just like break away from that classroom setting, because it's so easy to want to try to replicate the classroom setting. And it's not supposed to be like that in homeschool. You don't have 30 kids. You might have just a couple, you know? So that's one of my advice. And then I always say, go get a membership to like a museum, a zoo, a nature center. I just think that homeschooling is like an extension of parenting. It's really like you're doing your, like what you do normally with parenting, just now teaching your children a couple hours during the school day. So that's my advice. There's so much I could say on it though. I love it.
Yeah, I completely agree. I think that like with the schooling, one of the things that I liked being homeschooled was that I could do my school around my life versus the other way around. Mm-hmm. And so if I, you know, woke up with a headache or whatever, I could sleep in a little bit later and then do my schoolwork. Or once I started working, I was able to do all of my schoolwork in 4 days and then have, you know, 2 days of work and then have a day off. And it worked well. Like I was able to figure that out. And I think that it definitely helped with time management and stuff, because in high school, my parents helped pick out the curriculum that we were going to use, and they would correct the schoolwork and go over it and stuff. But they would say like, this is how much you need to do per week of this subject, but you can figure out how you want to do it. And so I quickly learned that I do not want to leave all my math for the end of the week or do it all at once at the beginning. I wanted to like mix it up and stuff. And I think that that really helped me realize how to be organized and things like that, which I really liked. And plus with siblings, I really enjoyed the fact that we could get our school done by lunchtime generally and then be outside playing the whole rest of the afternoon.
Absolutely. Well, it's so interesting that you talked about time management, because like growing up in public school, like I feel like my classes were a little too easy. So I feel like I just kind of did my schoolwork right before walking in the classroom. And I'm not saying every public school is this way, but I actually really struggled going to college, because all of a sudden, like, it was all on me. It wasn't like the scheduled time. And I really did struggle my first year trying to figure out time management. I just think that you're right. Like, I think, you know, my kids, they wake up so early, unfortunately, at like 5:30 in the morning. So I'm drinking coffee until like 8:30. And then, you know, we homeschool from like 9 to 11, or maybe 9:30 to 11:30. And then they're playing all day. And I will say the one thing I love is, and I wonder if you feel the same way, is like sibling relationships. Like my kids would bicker and fight all the time when they went to school, because they were all at school all day and they were tired when they got home. And now they're just like, they play all day together. They're like each other's best friends.
Yeah, I never went to school, so I don't know if there was like a different, like if there would have been a difference, but I
Yeah.
will say that growing up, like my brothers and my sister to a point, but she's 12 years younger than me, so it wasn't quite the same.
Yeah.
But we grew up and we were very close. I would say that I was probably closer to the my brother that was closer in age to me for a majority of the time because he was closer in age to me. But he was like my first best friend, and he would be the one that I would go to and ask for advice and all of that. And so I definitely think that we would not be as close if we had been, gone to school because we would have been separated. And I also think, too, like it allowed me, and I'm not saying people that go to private school or public school can't learn this, but I think it helped teach me to be able to communicate and have like conversations and stuff with all different age groups
Yeah.
versus just the people in my age group.
I totally agree with you. I was preparing to honestly talk to you about socialization, and that was one of the like key things I was going to bring up because, you know, my kids are with me, like you're saying, like they go to the post office, the grocery store. They're talking to whoever I talk to, and they're learning to talk to all different generations. And something that, you know, I think everyone can learn, but it's just more that like my kids are doing it all the time. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. And I think too with learning and how you were talking earlier about learning at like figuring out their learning styles and learning at their own pace and whatever, I think that there's so much to be said for life experience learning. And I'm not saying don't teach your child math and all of that with books and videos and whatever, but there's so many ways that you can learn about different things in life. And especially if you have kids that are very curious and like to ask lots of questions, they're gonna ask, like, why is this that way? And if you don't know the answer, you can look it up and you can learn with them.
Oh, yeah.
And so I think that you can make it fun and not have it be just you sit and do a book. And I think too, like for me, I do not do very well with a bunch of noise. Like when I did driver's ed, and then when I worked in a high school, I do not know how some of those kids did study group and had people just doing a bunch of chaotic things around them because I cannot learn like that. I need like controlled noise. If I have music on or something, I can focus fine, but it has to be something that I'm putting on, not like a bunch of yelling and talking and I don't know. I don't do very well with that kind of style learning. And I think that I would have grown up thinking I was a lot dumber than I actually am because I would have just thought that I don't learn and I can't learn because it wouldn't have been conducive to how I learn.
Totally. I know that's something that my son actually struggled with when he was pulled out of private school. He felt so stupid because he was comparing himself to so many different peers, you know, and there's distractions like you're saying. And so it took like 2 years that we had to be like, you know what, like you're learning at your level and there's no one to compare to. And that's something that I really like seeing the difference with him. His confidence has grown a lot more too.
I love that. Yeah, with like even with like my siblings, I feel like I compared myself a little bit because my brothers are really good at math and I'm not. And
Oh,
so there were times where they would be like not at the same level as I was, but we didn't, I mean, obviously there's grades and stuff, but we kind of somewhat learned at our own pace. And we did Matthew C. I don't know if you've ever heard of that
Oh, yeah. I
curriculum.
actually just met Steve Demi at the conference,
Oh,
and
that's so
yeah,
cool.
we got to really get to know him. It was really fun.
That's really fun. So yeah, so we use Matthew C. And so there was at one point where my brother that's closest in age to me, I think he was like a book behind me, even though he's a couple years younger than I am. And you kind of made me feel a little bit like, oh, I need to like measure up. But at the same time, I knew that I was learning how I could, like I was doing the best I could. And I think that, I don't know, I'm glad that I didn't have that with like a bunch of different kids or whatever. And I just, you know, I
No,
think it helped.
I think that brings a whole nother point to homeschooling too, though, is like you're talking about your brother being able to move forward, where like if he was in a classroom, he would have been, you know, he wouldn't be allowed to move forward as quick in math. And something like where like I'm sure for you there was probably so much more like maybe different things, like maybe it wasn't math, but it could have been a different subject that you got to move forward in and just like really explore and like grow in, you know. So it's like another cool thing that I just love about homeschooling is that you can kind of move forward where you are. You don't have to stay in one stagnant place.
Exactly. Yeah, for me, that was English. And I know that when it came to my brothers having to write papers and stuff, I remember my mom saying, I don't know how to make the boys like want to do this
It is
because you just did it. And I was like, I'm sorry. Like, I don't know what to tell you. Because
hard.
for me, I found it fun to research things and write stuff down and, make up papers. Like, I ended up taking a college class in high school for English, and I got such a good grade that technically I didn't have to do my extra credit. But because I'm the type of person that does stuff ahead of time, I had already done my extra credit. So I'm like, I'm just going to send it to you anyway. You don't have to grade it. And then she just gave me extra points. And I was like, okay, that's great.
That's awesome. Yeah, I love hearing that. That reminds me a lot of my, when you're saying the boys didn't like writing, that's my son right there. It's like pulling teeth.
Yeah.
Well, that's awesome.
Yeah, absolutely. And too, like with the learning as well, like we did certain things, like when we would all do similar things when it came to like history, like we'd all do world history but different levels, or we'd all do US history. And then we'd find like different things at the library that went along with it, or different museums. And so I think that it was fun to like kind of all learn together, even though we were all learning at different levels of the same thing.
Yeah, well, that's how we do history too. We do like one history and they all read, like, they all listen. We're doing living books, which is so cool because a lot of people say they hate history because it's so boring. It's just dates. And it's like we're doing living, it's like living history books. So it's like a story about that time period. But then you can go to the museums, like you're saying. And that's just like, that's how it's fun. Like, you get to live through it. Like, we're doing the Revolutionary War. Like, what? We live in New Hampshire. We can go down to Boston and learn it right there. And it's just so cool to be able to, like, I don't know, get out of the house when when it works for your family and explore and just see it for what it is.
Absolutely. That kind of like goes along with the what I was saying about being able to do your life around your school, and I mean your school around your life instead of the other way around. Because we would sometimes, have friends over that were homeschooled
Oh
in the
yeah.
middle of the week, and we would just, do it around that time. Or we'd have friends that were like the same ages as us, and we'd all like do our school together, but then we'd all be done way earlier than we would have if we had been in school. And I cannot imagine going to school and learning stuff in school and then having to come home and do homework. Like, I
Yeah.
am so glad that I was able to just like that all my school was homework and I didn't have to do anything after.
Well, that's part of going back to one of the reasons why we started homeschooling was my kindergartner and first grader was coming home with like an hour and a half of homework right after school. And we were just like, what is he doing in school if he's getting this much work done? I mean, granted, it takes us 2 hours to do school here, and that's it. So it just kind of pushed us, like it started, that was one of the things that kind of pushed us to start homeschooling is like, if we're doing this already at night, why not do it during the day?
Absolutely. There was a few times where I don't even know why I had to do this, but I remember a couple times where I had to study and do stuff at night, and I was like, I am so glad you not have to do this because I am getting such a headache trying to learn this stuff at night.
Oh yeah, it's so hard. I know that. I mean, the kids that do go to school, they definitely juggle a lot.
Yeah, for sure. And I know that we've kind of touched on this next question a little bit, but like, what are some examples of how you guys make homeschooling fun and do the socialization aspect?
So that's a great question. I'm trying to like reflect on what we just talked about. But we do our school, it's like 2 to maybe 3 hours during the morning. And then we really try to get out after lunch. We do lunch, we have friends over. One thing that we do right now with one family is every Wednesday, they're a family of 10. So it's a huge, it's a really exciting moment when they come over. But they come over every Wednesday to hang out. So like and that's like my kids' best friends in that family. And then we have a couple other families that we, get together with. Right now, like my kids are with another homeschool family as we record, but like we switch on and off so we can work and their kids can play. And then we go to things like, we have church, we have like different Bible studies that we do during the week. We're part of a hiking group. And like going to the playground, even during school hours, like around, I feel like the sweet spot is 1 o'clock. I feel like all the homeschoolers start coming out around that time, especially when the weather's nice. But just like, you know, my son's involved in trail life. My daughter does dance at the studio. I work at a dance studio. And so she does dance. We just really like get them involved. They do sports. They do camps. I make it an effort to, you know, have people over. But I feel like a lot of times it's really the parent. Like if you want your kids to be social, then it's the parent's job to make it happen and like actively seek it out. Because, you know, like we said before, socialization happens everywhere. But like as far as friends and stuff like that, like it's really, I think, based on the parent kind of helping the child get that socialization. Because in the school system, you know, it's automatic. It's right there. And they might not be like playing socialization. They're just together by age and grade. But, you know, when you're a homeschool parent, it's kind of on you to kind of really try to reach out and kind of make it happen for them. Unless you live in a really thriving neighborhood.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I know that I feel like I got to visit and see a lot of people and meet different people, but it was always interesting to me, like when I would do different like volunteer projects or whatever, I would have people all the time when they would find out that I was homeschooled, they'd be like, "Do you ever leave the house?"
Oh my word. Yeah.
It's like, I'm literally out right now.
Yeah.
What do you mean? Do I ever leave the house?
I feel like people are starting to get better about that nowadays, because homeschooling is like, I guess, the fastest growing movement in the country right now. But it's like still such a question in today's, even today, you know, like, I don't know why people are so hung up on it.
I don't either. Because it's not like you can't join, you know,
yeah,
you dance can places or gymnastics places. Like they're not specifically for school.
Yes.
And oftentimes at schools, they have homeschoolers that can go to the different activities. I know my brothers took some different classes at different schools when they were in high school, like some woodworking ones and different things like that. Like there's so many different ways that you can do that, or even like homeschool organized things. Like we did bowling leagues. Mm-hmm. I don't know if this was a homeschool specific thing or if it was just a New England specific thing, but it was like, I think it was called the Great Park Pursuit or something like that, where you would go to different like national and like state parks and take pictures and learn the history. And then you'd get together. I think we all got together a few times to do different like games and activities. And then you'd get different points for how many ever parks you went to and whatever. And there would be different contests. But there are so many things like that, that to me, it blows my mind when people are like, "Do you ever get out of the house?" or whatever, because it's like there's so many opportunities. And when you go to school, you aren't doing as many things like that, because like we said, you're doing homework and you're tired and all that. So I honestly think, like, to a point, homeschoolers have more of that than people that go to school.
Yeah, I agree. And I think, like, you know, nowadays there's so many organizations that offer like homeschool specific things. Like, and that's partially why we created Homie. We wanted to make it like, you know, available to the community and not word of mouth. But like when we lived in Georgia for 6 months and my kids were doing homeschool science classes every week, sometimes twice a week. There was homeschool open, like, you know, like trampoline parks, like open, like free time. There's homeschool, like open gyms now. There's just so much, like state parks, like you were talking about. They have like a fourth grade pass program where like people are like traveling throughout the country and road schooling now. You know, like people are doing it different than it used to be. Like there's like literally people homeschooling on the road in RVs and going everywhere. So it's funny. Like I think it's like at some point we got to break the stigma about homeschoolers not being social.
I completely agree. And too, like with one of the things that I remember we did is we had like some people, I don't know how my mom found one of the teachers, but there was this retired English teacher and he was amazing. And he had Parkinson's, which I think might've been the reason that he had to retire, but he came and we got a bunch of us together and did writing classes, or a friend of mine, her dad, I don't know, I think he went to college for science and he loved it and he was so enthusiastic about it. And I did not like chemistry, but I did enjoy going to his house because the way he explained it, just the fact that he was so excited about it, made it fun. And I'm not saying there are teachers out there that don't do that and that aren't passionate about their job, like in the normal school system. Mm-hmm. But I think being homeschooled, like you, it's unique in the way that you can find people that are like that, that are willing to teach. And I don't know, I just think it's different.
Yeah, I agree. You know, we went when we were in Colorado, and what I love about each state is like each state does homeschooling so differently. There's obviously different laws. But like I noticed out in New England, a lot more of what you're saying, like people are kind of stepping up, doing co-ops or science classes, and they're really passionate about it. And then, you know, out west, there was like so many different things too, like where they had like public funded homeschool school once a week. So we did something called Options in Colorado, and the kids would literally just go to school. It was at a church, but it was public funded, and they would just do enrichment classes all day by certified teachers. So like my son was taking like fly fishing one period, Spanish Fiesta one other. I think I was like teaching Spanish, like Water World or something. It's like a science water class, like board games. Like it was so fun. And he would just go all day and had like people that were certified teachers that just loved teaching, kind of like what you're saying. But it's just interesting how every state kind of does things differently. And like a lot, you know, I just noticed out here it's more co-ops and stuff.
Yeah. And I think too, with like the language, I really liked that I got to do sign language in high school. And I don't think that is offered in school today. At least it wasn't when I was in school, which I really enjoyed, because I don't think that I would have done well if I had to do like Spanish or French or something like that. I'm just not very good at those type of things, and like memorizing. I would not have been good at it. I would have felt very frustrated. And so I think being able to have the visual aspect of sign language really helped, and it was also really fun.
Yeah, it's really cool. My daughter is asking to do sign language, so I'll have to ask you for some tips later.
Yeah, I don't remember as much as I wish that I did. But it was really neat because with the homeschool bowling league that we did, there ended up being a girl that was deaf that was a part of it. And when they found out that I knew sign language or was learning sign language, they put her and I on the same team. And she, I remember at one point, said whatever to me about the fact that she liked that she could talk to me and her mom didn't need to translate because I could at least hold up a conversation with her, even if sometimes I had to fingerspell things. Yeah. So that was really neat.
Well, I'm sure she even just recognized you giving her the attention and the time too. Like that's really hard when you can't communicate with somebody, you know? And yeah, even if it was like a broken up sign language, she probably just really appreciated just having a friend.
Yes. Yes. And having somebody that she could talk to like her own age without her mom having to be a part of the conversation. And her mom also probably enjoyed being able to talk to other people and not have to, you know, talk for her.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And I don't think I had any other questions, but is there anything else that I haven't asked or that you wanted to add?
No, I think that's it. I just really appreciate just having this conversation. It's so fun to be on here and catching up with you. It's been way too long. So thank you so much for having me on the podcast. It was a really good time.
Of course. We're going to have to get together in person now that things have settled down a little bit for you.
Yeah, that'd be wonderful.
Yes. And so where can people find you personally if you want to share? And also where can they find the app?
Oh, good. Okay. So the app is on the App Store right now, and it is Homey, Hohmey. And we also have a website if you're looking for more information, which is www.homey.com. If you're interested in following my sister and I's homeschool journey, we have a shared account right now called Homey Sisters. So it's at Homey, which is Hohmeysisters. And then we're also on our business profiles on Instagram and Facebook and also TikTok now, which is just at homie.inc. So
awesome. I did not realize that you guys were on TikTok. I think I just followed the Instagram.
Well, we just got on TikTok at the Great Homeschool Convention. We met some people that were influencers on TikTok and they convinced us to get on there. So we are trying it out.
I'm going to have to go follow you now.
Please do. That'd be awesome.
And with the podcast being called Beautiful Legacy, I ask all of my guests, what kind of legacy do you want to leave and why?
It's a really good question. You know, I hope people remember me of loving people like Jesus did, to be honest. And that I raised my children to be kind, loving, respectful, and hardworking people in the world. And that I can just use my gifts and resources to help others in the community. And I realized the why question, but yeah, I guess the reason why is just, you know, there's just more, we need more people that are going to be kind and respectful. And just, I hope my kids can be one day people that are like that and just look out for them, you know, others. So.
I love that. And I am sure that they will be. With you and Matt are both very much like that. And I don't remember what episode it was. It might have been the 13 Reasons Why Not, but, and I don't know if you've listened to that one or the one that I talk about it, but I'm sure I've told you this before. I don't know if I have or not, but at camp, the first summer I was there, I was very close and had a lot of thoughts of wanting to kill myself. And you were one of the people that really.
Oh, Abigail. I haven't listened to or heard this. You're going to make me cry over here.
No, but like you are one of the people that if I ever needed prayer, you were just willing to just pray with me. And I think that that was definitely one of the reasons that I'm still here. So.
Oh my gosh. I am going to have to go listen to that podcast. Well, thank you. I was telling someone about doing the podcast today. And I was just like, Abby just has so much wonderful, you know, she's just such a kind-hearted person. And she just has such a wonderful energy and loving others. And she just seeks the Lord. And I just love what you're doing for this podcast. And I really appreciate that, you know, I'm part of your story. And, you know, all praise goes to Jesus. So.
Yes, I'm very grateful to have you in my life, even though I feel like I haven't seen you in I don't even know how long at this point. I feel like it's been forever.
Well, we moved around a lot and we need to have you down and, you know, come down to New Hampshire and come over and just have a double date or something. That'd be really fun.
Yes, absolutely. And as always, to the listeners, you are loved. You are worth it. You are priceless. And I will talk to you all later. Hello, friends. So I didn't feel that the episode needed a disclaimer because it's only briefly mentioned at the end. However, if you are in a place where you feel like you are all alone and you do not know where to turn and you are thinking about ending your life, I want you to know that you are worth it. You are loved. You are priceless. You have a purpose, even though you may not know what it is and you may not feel like it. If you are in that place and you are in that state of mind, please text or call 988. As well as if you are international, go to the beautiful_legacy Instagram and click on my milkshake link on the last page. I think it's page 6. I think there's only 6 pages. Either way, it is the last page on the Milkshake website, and there is a link to international hotlines. So if you are not in the United States, please feel free to go check that out if you do not know what your country's crisis hotline is. But again, that's 988 if you need to text or call, and just know that you are not alone and that there are people that love you. And even if you do not feel like it, you have a purpose. And as always, I will talk to you later.